Hey, everybody, welcome to the new portion of Pastor Rod's podcast.
Hey, good to see you all. Good to hear you all. Well, maybe just hear Lewis.
And so we just thought we would start a new part of Pastor Rod's podcast where we would do some interviews and just get to pick your brain, Pastor Rod, about leadership, life, pastoring, and I'm sure it's going to be a great blessing to many people and many leaders around the world. So welcome, everybody.
Yeah, welcome, everyone. It's great to be together and great to be with Lewis from Hiroshima, and I'm in Tokyo, Japan. We love Japan, don't we?
It's a great place. We
great
do love
place,
it.
Great place, and God's doing great things. Yeah.
He sure is. He sure is. Well, I thought we could kick off first episode, maybe the first few episodes, talking about leadership lessons from 2020.
Wow.
We're recording this in January of 2021, the 7th, for anyone who's listening on a later date. And obviously, it's been a wild year last year and the beginning of another amazing year ahead as well. And so I thought it'd be great, Pastor Rod, to just talk with you about some of the lessons, especially in leadership, pastoring, that you have learnt this year.
Yeah, love to. Let's go. Let's talk about what the goodness of God right now.
Come on, we need it. Yeah. Awesome. So today I thought we'd talk about how to stay healthy as a leader. And I know this is a subject you're very passionate about, Pastor Rod, and I've had a front seat to your leadership for almost 13 years now.
Is that
Can
right?
You believe that?
No, I remember when you came in and at 18 and Tokyo.
Let's not talk too much about that.
Right, we'll talk about that some other time. Who wants to hear that? Yep, everyone, one day. Okay.
One day. one of the things I can definitely testify to is just how healthy you've been as a leader over such a long period of time. And I think it's such an amazing thing, and it's something that's had a big impact on my life and my leadership. So I'd love to dive in and just ask you some questions, and specifically about last year, what you've learned in this area. So the first thing I just love to ask is, what do you think it means to be a healthy leader? I'm sure everybody would say, I want to be a healthy leader, but what does that mean to you, Pastor Rob?
Wow, that's such a big question, isn't it?
It is.
I guess you've got to love your life, love the life that God's given you. So a lot of it is identity, knowing who you are. Who am I is a question that actually comes up even on our website, just as randomly people write, who am I? And I think just knowing who you are is so important, and then operating well within who you are. So early on, I've been a believer now for 42 years. Can you believe that? I got saved at 19, and in just a few months, I will have been a believer 42 years. And when I became a believer, I did not know who I was. I was seeking. I was a seeker and found Jesus. And the first thing that happened was my heart was renewed. That happened in a moment of time. You know, I love that scripture that says 2 Corinthians 5:17 that all those in Christ are new creations, not renewed or not getting better creations. We are a new creation. And I had that revelation that I was actually a new person in Christ, still had the same thoughts, could remember, same battles, but I was new. And I think it's really important that we as Christians know that theology or that truth, that we are a new creation.
Amazing. Can I stop you there real quickly, Pastor Rod? I think that's an important thing to just dive into. The difference of, you just mentioned, it's not being renewed or being made new, but it's I am made new. Can you just talk to that for a moment?
Yeah, well, even that scripture goes on to say the old has gone, the new has come. And I think that we need to understand what Jesus did for us on the cross was absolute. It completely changed my heart. And if I could bring in another scripture from the Old Testament, Ezekiel 26:36, I think it is, it says that he will take out my heart of stone and put in a heart of flesh. It is actually a heart transplant. Mm. And it's not a heart renewal. It's not, I'm now getting closer to God, I'm getting better. No, there is an actual crisis. If I could use that word crisis in a positive way, that I am now living with a new spirit, a new heart. And I think we need to know that, because the devil's going to come to us and say that we're not renewed, especially in the hard times, especially when things are not going well, and say, you're the old, but we need to hold on to the truth that I have the Spirit of God living in my life now. I'm a new person.
Mm.
So I think, yeah, we've got to dig into that a lot. I think it's really important theology to know that the new creation, being born again, means a new heart.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't know if that answered your question, but that scripture is so important to me. Yeah.
No, I love it. I love, and I think that's such an important understanding and distinction to have. But what would you say to people who say, okay, that's great, I believe that, I'm made, you know, I've been made new, but I still make mistakes, I still have bad thoughts, I still get frustrated, I still have all this weakness. What would you say about that?
I get it. I understand all those questions. I think they're to do with the renewing of the mind. So if we can just split those two things, my heart and my thinking, my heart is new. I am new. You are new. We are a new creation, but our mind is not renewed. It's the one thing in the New Testament that we need to renew ourselves. We need to call upon God for a change of heart and change of mind. That comes from Romans 12. We could talk about that maybe some other time, the renewing of the mind. It does come into this conversation on health. But the first thing you're saying is, I start from a new heart, and now I'm renewing my mind.
That's great.
The other way of thinking is, I'm just working all the way I'm working towards God and working towards renewal. That is really hard. But when I know my heart is new and now I need to renew my mind, is a lot easier road. It's an easier journey for people to understand. And am I coming across okay with that? Does that make clear?
Yeah, I love it.
But I'm not broken anymore. My heart is not broken. I'm coming from a place of Christ in my heart. There is a place of health all the time. It's called my heart. And my mind needs to catch up with that. It needs to get the revelation of that. That's why we read the Bible. That's why we pray. We get renewal of the mind to catch up with our heart. And I guess I've always had that revelation from day one of a Christian. Wow. Where I knew my mind wasn't renewed. I knew I had flashbacks from the past and all sorts of problems, but I had a revelation. I was now Rod Plummer, son of God, renewed in my heart by Jesus Christ, by the death and resurrection of Jesus. I had that revelation, and I want people to understand that revelation, because it's such a higher place to start from, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. It's incredible. So you'd say that that's really the base of being a healthy leader, is it?
I think so, that we know that we're a son or daughter of God from day one. We could go into so many scriptures here. It's not just one or two. It's the whole New Testament revelation of God wanting sons and daughters. God hasn't got broken toys. He's got sons and daughters. And from that place, yes, we need to get healthy. But it's a great place to start from, because I'm with God. He is with me. He's in me. He's for me. I am forgiven. I am redeemed. I am made holy, or made set apart, special. That's all happened. The time when I met Jesus, that stuff was set in order. What needs to be pursued then is healthy habits and healthy thinking. But that comes from the revelation. I am now a son of God. You're a son, Lewis. You're a son of God.
Come on.
Any girls listening here, you are daughters of God. You don't have to fight for that. You don't have to work for that. You don't have to go to some meeting for that. You are renewed. And I guess I'm starting to preach now, right? So,
It's good stuff, though. It's good stuff. I think that's amazing. And in some ways, we could almost end this episode here, but we're going to keep going, because I think there's a lot more we can dive into. But it's a great start. So just before we move on, is there anything else you want to add to the definition of a healthy leader?
Well, from that place of accepting, you know, I've got to bring in another scripture. You know, John 1:12, it says, to all who receive him, he gives the authority to be called the sons and daughters of God. Mm. We've got to receive that truth. Anyone here who's struggling to get to God as a believer, you need to get my advice would be to read the Gospels and read them as a son and daughter of God, that you're with Jesus. This is your Lord. I think that's a big part of fast-tracking health. Now, I'm 61. I'm still pursuing health in my mind and my body, but my heart is with Jesus all the time. That's just such a huge thing. And from that point, I then build in habits to renew the mind, habits to stay connected to God all day, every day. So I guess we're going to talk about habits in a minute, but I think, yes, this foundation, I am with God, is so important. Now let me build some habits. Yeah.
Awesome. Absolutely love it. And yes, we will be talking about habits and some actions people can take away from this as well, but that's great. So let's just shift gears a little bit. And let me just ask you, Pastor Rod, you personally, 2020, yeah. What was it like for you as a pastor, a husband, a father, leading a big movement of churches on a personal level? Was it a healthy year for you? What was 2020 like for you personally, Pastor Rod?
Well, it was a very fast year for everyone.
That's for sure.
As we look back, whatever it was fast. It seemed to go fast. Mm-hmm. And everybody said that. For me, it was a good year. And I think as reflecting, I knew you were going to ask that question. We hit 2020 healthy. I think that was a really big part of our story as Lifehouse and me as a pastor, that I hit the moment of the pandemic being healthy. Our church was healthy. I was healthy. Viv was healthy. My wife, Viv. Our kids were healthy. Our team was healthy. We hit the year. We hit the moment of crisis in a healthy way. Now, I don't say that with any sense of we're better than other people, but you're asking me a question, why did we do well? And the answer was we actually were healthy when we arrived in the crisis.
Love it.
And I think for people who did not hit the year healthy, it could be a different story. And my advice would be have lots of friends around you, lots of good advice. We could talk about some of the habits we're going to talk about in a moment, about journaling, getting a word from God. But I don't want to appear preachy to people who have had a hard time. If it was a hard time, it was a hard time and you need help and you need friends. But for us, we did hit the year healthy. Not every year has been as good as this year. Right. But we were maintaining our souls well when we hit the year. And you and the pastor and part of our movement know that's true. And so we were able to build in a hard year. One of the hardest things for me was the amount of decisions we had to make.
Right.
All through the year. And I'm a good decision maker. We're in a good decision making team, but there was a multiplier effect happening. And that was the most stressful thing for me, was to continually make decisions. A lot of people say, and I think it's true, that 2020 was a catalyst year, a pivot year. Basically, it was probably 10 years of life in 1 year. So that means probably 10 years of decisions in 1 year. And I just recently said to Viv, my wife, it was a year with a lot of decisions, but I don't feel stressed right now. And I think that's incredible coming out of the year. And a lot of that is that we were in peace. We were in security. We did make good decisions. I guess out of all the decisions, there's some you'd think we could have made that better or quicker. But overall, I think we made a lot of decisions really, really well. And that reduced the stress.
Amazing.
So I don't know if I answered all your questions there, but for us, it wasn't a bad year. It was actually a good year.
Amen. That's great. Well, let's just talk about the decision making. Because like you said, I think every leader went through that same challenge. And I would assume even this year, there's going to be a whole bunch of new decisions to make moving forward. And beginning of this year, looking forward, like, who knows what's going to happen this year? We know God's with us and God's got good plans, but what's it going to look like? We don't know. And there's going to be a lot of decisions. So just help us understand, how do you make good decisions, Pastor Rod? What does that process look like for you? And what's some lessons we could learn from making good decision making?
Well, as you ask that question, the first thing I'm thinking about is relationships.
Interesting.
If I have to make a lot of decisions, but my personal relationships are not great, it's really hard. So it comes back to like maintaining your marriage, your interpersonal relationships being healthy. Otherwise, you've got multiplied decisions, decisions about me and my relationships, and then me and my actual working life. And I think the sense of unity of heart is very important in decision making. That I'm not making decisions that I should have made a while ago. The decisions of the past have been made. I think we made a lot of good decisions 2020, and I think one of the reasons is that we didn't have a backlog of decisions to make, what you call procrastination, big word. Mm-hmm. It means making decisions as we should in the pacing and timing that we should. So when you hit a crisis moment like this, you don't have a backlog. We only had the decisions right ahead of us. And I think it's really important in life to make decisions as you should. And we don't live for crises, but they do come. And so when they come, you're just facing the ones today. So, you know, when this happened, my decisions with my wife were good, my kids were good, the church was good. I just had the decisions ahead of me. I think it's really important to have your relationships right when you hit any time of big decisions. So that you don't make a crazy decision. I think some people make crazy decisions because they had so many other decisions. And this decision was just one too many. And people make the wrong decision.
I don't think I've ever heard a leader connect having healthy relationships to good decision making. I'm not sure I've heard that connection before. I can't remember.
Interesting. And I think this whole thing of procrastination, as I said, it's a very big word, and some people don't understand it. It means making the decisions at the right time.
Wow!
No backlog. No bunch of other stuff from the past coming to hit me, because I'm pretty clean with my decisions. Not 100%, but pretty clean. And now I face this decision with healthy relationships. It makes sense, doesn't it? It really is.
Amazing. It's incredible.
It's great. I think as a movement too, we've kept very good relationships.
Yeah.
You and your wife and us, and when we hit this moment, we were just now facing this moment.
Yeah,
that's pretty important.
That's great. That's incredible. And I think people hearing this are thinking, I think they're probably thinking about decisions they should go away and make right now. It's great. So how do you build that discipline or that focus to make the decisions when they need to be made? How do we get out of that procrastination mode as a leader?
What comes to mind is you've got to be part of a healthy team. And I think that healthy marriage, healthy team, that also means that I'm listening, I'm teachable. I think that we need to stay teachable. There's a lot in Proverbs about that, like get teachable, listen, learn. I've had the great privilege of being under some great leaders and watching them make great decisions in hard times and saying, I want to do that. I want to be like that. And learning, being a learner helps this whole process so much. And I think being part of Lifehouse, as you are, we've got some great friends. You've got some great friends, and pick sure up the do. Phone, make a call, write the text. Again, Proverbs talks about the health of having counselors, which is a strange word, but I guess a better word would be really good friends. To just say, I'm thinking about doing this. What do you think? And your friends either go, that sounds good, or Lewis, or whoever. What are you talking about? You know, it just having friends, being in a family, having a father figure or a mother figure or someone around that just says, why are you thinking that way? That I learned that saved me days, months, probably years in some decisions of seeing wisdom, being in wisdom. And I think that's why we need such good friends to bounce ideas off.
Yeah.
Because some ideas are just not wise. Mm-hmm. And a friend can just knock it out of your orbit. Mm. Like, what are you doing? A good wife that says, what are you thinking about? Like, where did that come from? Just knock something out of orbit. You know what I mean? Orbit? Like, here's your orbit of thinking. And I'm doing a circle with my hand if you can't see this.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, ping, it just goes out and you've got peace in that area. Rather than thinking and reflecting on something that really should not be in our orbit. Mm. I think temptations are in this area as well. Mm-hmm. Bad temptations, bad thoughts, and you share with a very close friend and they go, what are you doing? And it's boing, it's just gone. And of course, prayer is our best moment when we're doing that with, and God says, what are you thinking? What are you doing? And that's, we're going to come to journaling, I'm sure, but journaling just seems to knock a lot of those ideas out.
Yeah.
Clean heart at night, which is like forgiveness at night, seems to knock a lot of those crazy, any like revenge thoughts or I'll get them back thoughts, boing, it's just gone. Leaving us with clear thinking to today, tomorrow, etc. We've got to have this clean area in our life to make good decisions. Does that make sense?
A lot. It makes total sense. And I think that's very helpful for a lot of people. So thanks so much, Pastor Rod. That's incredible.
Yeah. Can I just add to that? I hear of some pastors always going to see their therapist. And I guess if you need to see a therapist, see a therapist. But I think our greatest therapist is Jesus. And to have your time with God every day.
Right.
It seems to knock out a lot of these weird thinking very fast for me. Writing a thought, getting a scripture, just keeps me on track with decisions as well. So, yeah.
Incredible. I love that. Well, we're going to keep moving forward a bit. And I think this year especially, maybe even more than in the past, there's been a lot of conversation, even a lot of statistics. I always say that word wrong.
Statistics. I say 10 times.
I'll skip that one. But there's a lot of statistics out there about the health of pastors and what pastors are struggling with, and some of it can be quite negative as well, and seem a bit overwhelming. I was just looking at one example from Barna Research that they surveyed 1,700 Protestant senior pastors about midway through 2020. And about 31% said that they are currently struggling the most with their emotional well-being. And a quarter, 26%, says that they were struggling with their relational well-being.
Right.
And, you know, as a young pastor who's always keen to learn and always trying to connect and learn from good leaders around the world, it does kind of sometimes seem that the message out there, whether it's intentional or not, but just from my perspective, it sometimes seems that being unhealthy is just part of the leadership journey. Like, it's part of the cost of leadership, that if you're going to be in leadership and do something significant, you're going to go through at least a season of unhealthiness. What would you say to that, Pastor Rod?
It's a really hard question, because there are people going through crisis and you don't want to seem super triumphant. Like, we're okay, you're not. And I really don't want to give that message. However, I have to say to young pastors and young people, you've got to have great hope in the ministry. You know, you've got to have hope that, you know, there's an old saying from a pastor in America, tough times never last, but tough people do. Pastor Robert Schuller was a pastor when I was very young. And that's just a saying that's not from the Bible, but I just really captured me. Tough times don't last, but tough people do. And tough doesn't mean mean. It just means strong, emotionally strong, EQ strong, in my heart strong, soul strong, spirit strong. And I want to say to young pastors, there is great hope for you.
Come on.
that although there is hard times and there are hard stories, we can insulate ourselves against this by having great friends, building great marriages. And we've got to get to this subject of journaling, this concept that we do at Lifehouse, which is every day just read 5 minutes of God's word and take a note. This is truly what I've done for 40 years. I can't say I've done it every single day of my life. That is not true. But as I've built habits, those days where I journaled a little bit were better days. I just can't get around that. If something is just so absolutely a differentiator, something that makes my day different, I've got to look at that and say, that's so important. And that thing for me was journaling. And what I've got here in front of me right now, some of you can't see it, but is my very first journaling book.
Wow.
And when I was 19, a new Christian, a fireman in Sydney, Australia, I took a book, this book, this is actually it.
The real deal.
This is the one. And it's just an ordinary book. It's just a notebook. And I started to write a few thoughts from God. As I look back at it now, some of those first thoughts were very strange. I was very strange. In fact, the first guy that I ever led to Jesus Christ, one of my fireman friends, later in life said to me, "Rod Plummer, you're a pastor. I never thought you'd make it as a Christian." He said that to me. I led him to the Lord. Like, what? I was weird. I was strange, but I was committed to hearing from God. I was committed to being healthy. I was committed to having a great life. I was committed to, I saw it at the new church I was going to. I saw it modeled. I read it in the Bible. I said, God, I want to be healthy. I want to be healthy. Now, this is a long way from your question about pastors this year, but not really. Because we've got to build habits that build health.
Yeah.
And what I did was I started to read the Bible and take little notes. And one of my very first notes in here is Isaiah 7:9, which says, if you don't stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. And that seems a very strong word, but I needed a strong word. And I feel that we've got to build the habits that build health. For me, it's reading a bit of God's word, even today, thinking about it and praying it. God, today I pray for this. And even today, my word from God is very simple, but it's empowering. I can share it with you if you want to in
Please
a minute.
Do.
But the concept is God the Father wants to speak to me today about my health, about my marriage, about my job, about my relationships. So I think when we hear all those statistics of people suffering, I feel sorry. But my answer to them would not be, I'm really sorry for you. My answer to them would be, you've going to have to build healthy habits to have a healthy life, whether you're a pastor or a teacher or a business guy or woman. You've got to build in healthy habits for the day of trial. So although that sounds harsh for someone going through a hard time, I don't know what else to say. I can pray for you, but my next thing will be you've got to build healthy habits because this pandemic will come and go, but there'll be something else.
Yeah.
And for a young guy like yourself and young family, the best thing I can say to you is you've got to build healthy habits for the day of trial. That's what Jesus said. Yeah, I could go right into that. But are those statistics real? Yeah, I've met people really struggling, really suffering. I have nothing but love and grace and care for you. But you've got to get healthy habits. How many times can I say it? And I say it all around the world, Lewis and others. I say it all around the world. You've got to build healthy habits for the time of trial. And in the time of trial, you've got to keep healthy habits. So, yeah.
That's so great.
I'm a broken record. Is it your generation?
It's a good broken record. Yeah.
you've never seen a record.
I just understand it being a millennial, but I don't know about the following generations.
Yeah.
That's incredible. So I think what you're saying to young pastors, there's hope to be healthy and to last in ministry and to love your family, love life.
Yeah.
And I think it's an important message that we need to hear more of. Yes, there are problems and tough times, but Jesus is with us and there's ways through it. So I love it. I love it.
Yeah, come on.
So let's go there, Pastor. We've already touched on some of them already. You can go back to those if you want. Yeah. But let's talk about what are the healthy habits that we as leaders can build into our life, the daily habits or the regular habits that's going to keep us healthy.
At Lifehouse, we call it the big three. Mm-hmm. And it's not the only three, but I think it's the big three, which is journaling, just 5 minutes of the Bible every day. Mm-hmm. Take a thought, take a prayer, number one. Number two, simple prayer. Keep it simple, starting with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. You could say that prayer in 20 seconds or 1 hour. Just start to pray. And it starts with our Father in heaven, our Father. And the third one is clean heart at night, which is just forgive everyone every night. Forgive your wife, your husband, your kids, let it go and go to sleep in peace. Those three things, to me, is the core of discipleship.
Wow.
Anybody who does those three things on a regular basis, and it doesn't have to be every day, it's not legalism, and if you don't do it, it's not God punishing you. Mm. But as I said before, I noticed a difference on a day when I do that and a day when I don't do that. I learned it when I was young. I learned it quickly. I learned it easily that these things determine my day.
Mm.
And if I have a better day when I do those things that are so simple, then they're habits I want for my life and I want for our team. And I present to people listening to this, these are not big things. Mm. They're easy, eh? Can you do it? Can everyone do it?
Everyone can do it. We call them the big three, but they're easy. totally. Yeah, it's very simple. Not a lot of time, but very, very powerful. Mm-hmm. I can definitely attest to that. When I came to Lifehouse, I said when I was 18, and
I remember. I've tried to forget, but I do remember the day you came in. No, it was great. It was a good one. Can't unsee what I saw.
Can't unsee that bright, long, blonde, flowing hair.
Yeah, skateboard under the arm, bandana. That's the Japanese flag on it. first week in Japan. Yep, Lewis had arrived.
I was ready. I already came in, on fire for Jesus and loving God and having some great leadership from a young age. But just learning these big three, just kind of naming them, giving simple, actionable things to do each day really changed my life. And I wouldn't be who I am doing what I'm doing today if it wasn't for the big three.
And you know, like churches around the world have different names for it. Yep. We don't have to have the same name, not even the same, numbers, 5 minutes, whatever. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. As long as there's something that young people can hook onto, just hook on that. This is going to make a difference. This is important.
Yeah.
And along with that, the concept of I can do that.
Yeah.
Did you feel that when you heard it?
Yeah. Yeah, because like I said, I came from a very good church with good leadership. And so I knew about the importance of reading the Bible and I knew about the importance of prayer and I knew about the importance of forgiveness. But I think, like I said, just having them named, having the hook, having the action, do this each day, just really brought consistency into my walk with Jesus and to my health. And I think before that I was, my walk with Jesus was always very up and down and I'm on fire and really excited. And then other times feeling really disconnected. But it wasn't God moving away from me. It was just me not looking to Jesus, looking to his word, opening my heart to him. And the big three just taught me to do those things daily. Totally.
And as I said, around the world, people could call it different things, but I would say every person I hear that God uses, whether it's in business or in ministry,
mm-hmm.
at some point in their sharing, they will talk about the word, the scripture, the moment God spoke or the revelation when God said this. Or it's whatever language people use, that is common. That is a common factor to people following God. Yeah.
That's great. And just one more thing of journaling. Just talk about the posture of journaling when it, I know Bible reading is quite a common thing we talk about, but when you talk about journaling, it's about, like I said, God speaking to you for your life. Can you just add to that a little bit?
Yeah, journaling is the concept that the God of the universe wants to speak to me today. I'm a son of God, I'm a daughter of God, and my Father in heaven wants to speak to me. He's a communicator. And when he speaks, it's going to be lifting, it's going to be answers. It could be challenging, but it's always for a better future. That thought that God wants to speak to me today. And so when I spend that little bit of time, could be on the train, it could be just sitting here right now, but just getting that little bit of word from God is easy. And when I read it, it's God to me. And I think a lot of people have like their own little concept of using someone else's journaling. That's helpful, very helpful. But the concept that I'm just going to spend this time for God to speak to me is the key thing there. Now, that could be like we have an app called the Blue Book. Well, we have an app called Lifehouse Church. You can get it for free. And in there is the Blue Book. The reason we call it the Blue Book is we used to have a physical book that was blue. That's people say, "What? Why is the Blue Book?" Well, we used to have that book. Now it's all digital. And you go in there and you can actually find journaling. And one of them is my first month of journaling. And it's like key scriptures, encouraging scriptures. Well, you could do that every month. Just go and look at those again and again. Yeah. It's not about being original or super spiritual.
Yeah,
it's about thinking on the Word of God, and whatever you do, however you do that, is great. But I really encourage you to do it for yourself. Like you say, I can get a word from God. Again, thinking about this today, one of the greatest experiences of my life was when I was a little boy. I went to my cousin's sheep farm. So when I hear about a lot of the scriptures about the shepherd and the sheep, I think of my cousin's sheep farm. He was a sheep farmer. And I remember that, you know, the words of Jesus is that, you know, you will hear my voice. The shepherd hears, the sheep hear the shepherd's voice. It was just such an impression on my brain that when the shepherd calls, the sheep go meh, you know, they follow it. I remember that. And now as a pastor, I think, well, my role as a shepherd is not to give them the food. It's to say, there's food. My role as the shepherd, as a Christian leader, is not to give them the word. It's to tell them how to find the word.
Wow.
And I think that by telling people, you can get the word, you can get God's word. It's the most powerful discipleship thing is we call it self-feeders. I've got to tell you, hey, all you wonderful sheep out there, I'm a sheep too. We can hear the shepherd's voice every day. You can hear it every day. You can get it right now. You can get a download from heaven. You can get something right now. Hey, this is how you do it. Just go to the Bible and read something and say, God, what would you say to me today? So me as a thinking back of that experience, I think it's really ingrained in my brain that you can all hear the shepherd's voice, and it's a good voice, and it's going to feed you, and it's going to sustain you in the hard time.
Amazing.
So I guess that's a big part of my revelation on this.
Totally. And it's a big part of, you can see it in your life and your leadership and in Lifehouse Church. So it's Pastor Rod, you definitely live it out. You're not just talking ideas here. This is your life, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I think healthy sheep hear the voice of the master. That's not me. I'm the senior pastor of a lot of churches. That's not me. My role is to say to the sheep, you can hear the shepherd's voice. I'll direct you, I'll help you, but you've got to hear it for yourself. And that's what Jesus is saying. My sheep hear my voice. And that's healthy sheep.
Wow.
Healthy sheep hear the master's voice.
That's amazing. I'm just kind of digesting that at the moment. It's not a new thing for me, of course. I've heard it a lot, but yeah. I think just hearing from you saying that the most important thing as a pastor is not to give someone the word or preach the word. It's to teach them to be able to hear from Jesus himself.
And of course, as a pastor, I bring the word, which I prayed about, and I bring it, and I hope the people will receive it.
You're very good at it, if I may say so.
We've got to be committed to that as pastors, that we do bring good word, we bring good message and uplifting. But the key to growth is that each sheep hears the voice of the shepherd for themselves. It's so powerful.
Great.
It's great.
Amazing. Well, I think we've had a great time together, Pastor Rod, and I think you've helped a lot of leaders listening today. So any just last thoughts that you'd like to share about being healthy 2021 and beyond?
Yeah, have great friends, be part of a great church, have great leaders around you, work on your relationships, and hit each day with a little bit of God's word. And I think it will get better and better, not worse and worse. I just think this is achievable for everyone. And I was thinking about some of those pastors having a hard time. If anyone's listening to this, I would just say right now, you are loved. You are special.
Yeah.
Even if you haven't built in the great habits, even up to now, even if you've done Bible school and done everything, you can start habits today. For the newest Christian, you can start habits today. We've got someone following our church right now, a brand new believer, one from Iran and one from Burma. And amazing. Both those people are coming from other religions, and they're saying, I'm reading the Bible for myself, and I think I love Jesus now. Isn't that exciting?
It's amazing.
In fact, saying, they're not saying, I think I love Jesus. They're saying, I love Jesus now.
Wow.
As they're coming to Christ. And I relate to that. That was exactly the same for me. And I think for the oldest Christian to the youngest Christian hearing this today, build in life-giving habits for the rest of your life, and you're going to be very, very happy in Jesus'
Amazing.
Name. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Fantastic. Well, how about you just finish off just praying for everyone listening, Pastor Rod? Let's do it.
Sure. Our Father in heaven, our Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, I just thank you that you're with us right now. And I pray anything in our orbit that should be gone, Lord, you just help us flick it out of the orbit of our thinking. And today we'll be thinking clearly that you are with us, you are for us. And it might have been hard, but right now, Lord, I know you're going to speak to us. It's going to be healthy. It's going to be good. I pray for anyone going through a hard time. Lord, there'd be hope, there'd be grace, and there'd be your word to sustain us. And anyone doing well, we just help others at this moment right now. We'd pass on the good news that you speak to all of your sheep, every one of us. You speak to us, Lord. Today, we're going to hear your voice, and we're going to say, yes, Lord, and we're going to grow in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Awesome, everyone. Well, thanks for listening in today. Make sure, if you haven't done so, wherever you're listening, hit subscribe so you can get all the next episodes coming up. Stay connected with us. And we'd love it as well if you could go ahead and leave a review, leave a comment, and help us get the word out. So thanks, Pastor Rod. Thanks for your time. Good.
See you soon, guys.
See you soon.
Hi, thank you for joining us today. We hope this episode was interesting and helpful to you. If it was, you can let us know by rating, reviewing, sharing, and commenting on the episode. That'll help us know what you're enjoying and what topics we should focus on in the future. If you haven't yet, make sure you subscribe to get these episodes as soon as they drop every month. And we'll see you in the next episode of The Rodcast.